Good morning, everybody.
Morning.
I'm going to have Steve read for me out of Isaiah 55, starting with verse 6.
Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. And let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts.
I know that many have heard these words before, but I want you to give ear to what I'm about to say here. Because there are many, many, many good people in hell right now. We judge according to our pride and according to the world around us. I was watching a program of JAG the other night, and it reminded me of the arrogance, the pride and arrogance we have as a nation. In this program, the military had a base in Saudi Arabia. And the women were required, when they went off base, to wear the Arab female garb stuff. And they were all been out of shape about it. And, you know, I can look at it and say, yeah, she was right, man. We shouldn't have to do that. Because we as Americans, we've got too much pride. And we judge other nations and other peoples and their cultures according to our own idea of what's right and wrong. So their ways are not our ways, so therefore they're wrong. Now you may think for a moment that I am defending them. No, I'm not. Because their ways are as wrong as our ways. Because, you see, where we do that from nation to nation, we also do it with God. We judge according to our pride and according to our understanding of what we think is good and what we think is right. And only evil people deserve to go to hell. You know, like those Muslims, ISIS, bomber, child molesters, rapists, murderers. Oh, yeah, they all deserve to go to hell. Because we're putting our concept of what's right and wrong on them. The truth of the matter is, God doesn't think like we do. And his ways are not the same as our ways. He has a whole different set of rules by which he judges by. He doesn't judge you whether you've got tattoos or whether you don't have tattoos. He doesn't judge you by what you've done or haven't done. In this world, he judges on one criteria. Do you believe him? That's the judgment. Do you believe him? If you believe him, you are worthy of salvation. If you don't believe him, you are worthy of hell. It doesn't matter if you never committed a crime on this planet. It doesn't matter if you went out and fed people at a soup kitchen and went to prison and worked with people in the prisons and went out and fed the homeless. It doesn't matter if you did all these things. If you did them without believing God, you are deserving of death and hell. This is the word. And America's got to wake up to it, because the churches are so dead and saltless that the things that I started saying 40 years ago, that everybody laughed at me and everybody said how wrong I was. And I've got people sitting in here right now that were here back in 1976 when I was preaching what was going to happen in America and what was going to happen in a church. And they're sitting right here. And what I've been saying is coming to pass and has come to pass and shall come to pass. Let's hear an amen on it. And it's because of pride and unbelief, selfishness, self-centeredness. How can the church know that it's of God or not? Well, we go back to a basic premise that God said, ye are the salt of the earth. Where salt has lost its savor, is good for nothing but to be cast out, trodden under the foot of men. Can we not agree that the church has been trodden over and is being trodden over? When a Christian can be fined and go to jail because he refused to serve homosexuals, and yet a Muslim can do the same thing and it's all right. Where is the saltiness in the church when a person can go to jail for praying in public, but not a Muslim? Where is the saltiness in the church when our government trods over the truth and emboldens the enemies of this country? Where is the saltiness of the church when there is drugs and crime all around the church and nothing is happening? Does not anyone seem to realize darkness cannot exist where there is sunlight? Cold cannot be where there is heat. And lawlessness and sin cannot abide where God is. And if God were in the churches, and if God's presence was in the towns and the cities, we wouldn't have the crime and all the evil things going on in this country. And if this country had God in it, it would even affect other countries. This is a godless nation. And the churches are godless as well. Turn to James. Now, Paul read it out of this today. Chapter 2. I'd like Steve to read from verse 14 down through 20.
What doth it profit, my brethren, though a man say he hath faith and have not works, can faith save him? If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, Depart in peace, be ye warmed and filled, notwithstanding ye give them not those things which are needful to the body, what doth it profit? Even so faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. Yea, a man may say, Thou hast faith, and I have works. Shew me thy faith without thy works, and I will shew thee my faith by my works. Thou believest that there is one God. Thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead?
O vain man, let me tell you, church, and all those that are listening, hearken unto these words and listen well, because the hour is coming. It is coming rapidly upon us, that if you do not stand firmly in the faith and in the Word of God, you shall be taken out. It is coming rapidly. To think that you are a believer in Jesus Christ and do not the works of God is suicide in the spirit. The preacher that tells you that once you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you're forever saved is a liar. And he's going to send you straight to hell. I'm going to tell you that if you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and you believe his word, you will start doing his word, and you will work at doing his word till the day he takes you. And if you fall back, repent, believing his word, he will forgive you, and you can continue on again. This isn't talking about soup kitchens. This isn't talking about running around and telling everybody how great they are and how much God loves them. It's running around and doing the works of God. I look around and I hear and I see and I meet people who want to be healed of sicknesses and diseases. But what reason do they want to be healed? So they can go out and serve themselves and do their own thing? Why should God heal them? Most people don't ask for healing because they know deep in their hearts they want it for the wrong reason. And some don't even want it at all because then they'd be responsible to do that which is right. I am one that has always said and have always preached, we're here to serve God. That's what we're here for. Not to serve ourselves, not to serve our agendas, our own agendas, but that which he wants us to do. And I don't know about any other ministry. I cannot speak for any other ministry, but I can speak for the fisherman ministry. And the fisherman ministry is going to do the will of God. The people are going to start doing what God wants, or they will no longer be here. They can go and screw up some other church, or be screwed up with the other screw-ups in the other churches. As for me, I'm walking with the Lord. I am going to serve the Lord. If I live, I live by the Lord. If I die, I die by the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. I shall serve him. And somebody tells me they have faith and they don't have the works of God. We'll see at the end, won't we? I'll show you by faith, by my works, which I've been doing for 40 years. Not by my own power, but by Jesus Christ and the power of the Holy Spirit who worketh through me when I believe. Hear me? Yes, there are times my faith falters. There are times I allow myself to be dragged down because of those around me. But I got news for you. I don't care who you are. I don't care if you're sister, brother, mother, father, husband, wife. I don't care who you are. No one's getting between me and the faith in the Lord. He is number one. He is whom I serve. If you want to be my friend, you serve him. If you don't want to serve him, you're not a friend of mine. I don't care what relationship you have to me in this earth. If you want to be my friend, you serve the Lord. Because that's how you become his friend. Amen. And you learn to believe. You study to know and to believe and walk in him. That's all I got to say.